The last few weeks I've been talking more in Yonah Machshava. And until around 3 hours ago, I was going to continue with a certain mahalach, but then there was a certain Indian that came up with a student of mine, and I decided I would talk about this, the little chizuk. So something poshet to understand b'darach haseichel intellectually, but something that we have to work very hard to make part of our lives. So everybody knows that Jews are not supposed to be counted. We don't count Jews. Instead, we count the kaif and nefesh. The substitute, which is the master shekel, the coin, is counted instead. And that's a substitute, that's an atonement, and so on. And it says in Chumash, this is to make sure that there won't be, God forbid, any harm, any danger as a result of counting Jews. So what's the sakana? What's the danger? What's wrong with counting Jews? So Rashi says, Shahaminyan shaylait by Ayin Hara, that when something is counted, when something is specified by number, so this arouses the koach, the energy of the ayin ra, of the evil eye. I'm not going to go into that now, something that's spoken about in the past, but it's not for tonight. And then there's pestilence and sickness, God forbid, as we know what took place in the days of David HaMelech. And they look at the Archaim HaKadosh and other Mepharshim discuss this. But the Zohar HaKadosh says more. The Zohar HaKadosh reveals more. So let me read to you a few sentences from the Zohar HaKadosh, from the translation of the Sulam, from the Aramaic into Lashon HaKadosh. So the Zohar says, Tochazi, come and see. Shein HaBrocha Hel Yoyne Shora Al Dovra Shanimne. Bracha, blessing from above, cannot descend upon something which is counted. When something is counted, it's removed from the realm of bracha. Vim timer, and if you therefore might ask, Yisrael eich nimnu, throughout the Chumash we find that the Jewish people are being counted. So in timer, then how is it possible, Yisrael eich nimnu, if counting something prevents bracha and could even, God forbid, cause sickness or death, then Yisrael Eich Nimnu. Then how are the Jews being counted? Elo lokach mehem kaif anapshem. The Jews weren't being counted themselves. Their contributions were counted, the half shekel. This atonement, this substitution. Shle also cheshbnash niskabitz kol hakaifer, an accounting wasn't made of how many Jews there were. The census was not calculated until all of the money, all of the half shekels, the koifer, was gathered, and the cheshbon was then made using the master shekel. So the Zohar says, so in the beginning, before a bracha would be given to the Jewish people, Beis Kabbalas HaKoifer, when the master shekel was given, when the half shekel was given, the Jewish people would be blessed. And then the half shekels, the substitute, would be counted. And then another bracha would be given to the Jewish people after the counting of the shekelim. So the Jewish people were sandwiched in between these wonderful brachas, which we don't see in Chumash, but the Zohar Kaddish says there was a bracha before the counting of the shekelim, then there's a bracha after the counting of the shekelim. In this way there would be no danger, nobody would be hurt by the counting. Vim Tishal, the Zohar ends and says, and if you will ask, Loma Oila Negev Biglal Minyan, what danger is there in counting Jews? What's the problem? Why is that dangerous? What's the problem with the census? So the Zohar finishes, Shahabrocha Ein Ashera B'Dovish B'Minyan. Just as Rashi brings from Chazal, that blessing will not be revealed when there is something that is being counted. There will not be bracha. The kevush nistalka habracha. And if bracha has left this place, if blessing, if bracha is not to be found, if there is a place that's emptied out, that's hollowed out from the blessings of Hashem, then Mimela the Zohar says, Shaira lava sitra achra, then God forbid, the other side has an empty place, a vacuum into which it can then climb. It can find itself. For Yochel lahazik, and then there could be damage, God forbid. That's what it says in the Zohar of the Parsha. So we have to ask a few questions. And now I'm a drager to understand this inyan. First of all, if bracha, we believe this, if there is not to be any, if there is no bracha, if there are no blessings when something is being counted, when the spotlight is on somebody, when a person is being counted, if there's no bracha, so lemaisa, what's the difference whether you count the people, you count the contributions? The bottom line is, even though there's a kaifer, even though there is this coin that is substituting for the person, sof kol sof, we're adding up the amount of people. I mean, lemaisa, we are counting the people. It is a census. That's what we're doing. So the fact of using a kaifer nefesh, a substitute, that will atone, that will be used instead of us, sof kol sof, the Jewish people are being counted. There is a census. Also, why is it that this atoning coin, why is it that it's dafke half a shekel? And what is this business that the Zohar is talking about, that there's a bracha at the beginning, there's a bracha at the end, before we count and after we count the half shekel? Sof kol sof. If there is a counting that's taking place, if there's a census that's taking place, how does it prevent the damage? How does it help by having a bracha before and a bracha after? Okay. So we're only going to come back to that in the last few minutes. Let's talk about a yisod and avodas Hashem. The essence of serving Hashem. The Svarim HaKadoshim talk about this, with Efrat, and particularly the Kedushas Levi, Badishava. You know, Maseilas Yesharim begins, it's the responsibility of a Jewish person to think, to try to understand. She is Barav, Yis Amei, says the Lord, the Machavosa by Lama, to try to understand what is my responsibility, what's my obligation, why am I in this world, what did the Rebbeinu Shalom put me here for? So Maseilas Yesharim says that this is the first responsibility of a Jew. She is Barav Yisamis Eitzel Hodem. That it should be clear and should be known to a person what's his tachlis in this world, and what's the point of all of his avoida, his work, his efforts in this world. Chazal revealed to us, the Gemara in Shabbos and Chazal in many places, and you're all familiar with this, and we've discussed this here many times, that the Rebbeinu Shalom tells each and every Jew, each and every one of us, that we should try to be like him. Mahu afata. Just as he is compassionate, just as he clothes the poor and gives to the needy and so on. Mahu afata. Just as he is, so must we be. Mahu afata. That means that all of the midas el yainis, all of the midas of Hashem that he kivyochel revealed in this world, through his actions, through the teachings of Chazal and the Tzaddikim, all of the Bern Shalom's midas, a Jew is expected in the course of his or her lifetime to emulate, to try to live up to. Now, as is explained at length in the Sifrei HaMekubalim, in the Eitz Chaim Kisveri, and in the writings of the Ramchal, that the purpose that was revealed to us in creation, even though there are many, many purposes, many reasons that are not known to us, but the primary cause or reason for creation, as we were taught, by the tzaddikim who knew the secrets of Torah, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to be meitiv lebruav, in order to be able to give, in order to be able to kivyachol share his goodness with the world, with the creation. That is the teva hatoiv, is the nature of the one who is good to be good, but not to be good just to oneself, to be good to others. So the tzaddikim explain, and as I said, particularly in the ksavim of the Badit Shiva, that on the most basic level, just as this is the underlying purpose of creation, that the Bein Shalom is seeking, kivyachol has a need, not like human being has a need, God forbid, but kivyachol has a need to reveal his goodness, so too, on the most basic level, a human being must imitate the Rebbeinu Shalom and also fill his life with this need, with this purpose, to be good, to do good. But it's not just that. Here the tzaddikim taught us a profound thing. You know, this whole world, our avoid in this world is in the way of Daidi Liv Anilo. Anila Daidi V'Daidi Li. I am for my beloved is for me, which means just as a Kadosh Baruch Hu seeks or has this great purpose to do good for the human being, for us, so too the B'dish of another tzaddikim explain the tachlis of a Jew and all of his work of this world should be to kivyachol do good for the Rebbein Shloilam. Just as the Rebbein Shloilam's tachlis in this world, as it was revealed to us, was to be good to us. And our tachlis in this world is therefore mahu afata, is kivyachol to be good to him, which means to bring nachas ruach to the one who made us, to bring pride, to bring joy, because the Rebbein Shloilam doesn't need any other gifts. Just like, you know, at least I remember that my parents always refused, my sister and I tried to get them gifts for a birthday. My father didn't believe in birthdays anyway, but we tried to get them gifts, and my father and mother would always say, I'm sure you've heard this also, and I tell my children when they also try to bring some gift, that the greatest gift is that you should be good kinder, you should good kinderloch, you should do the right thing, you should be good to each other, and you should bring us nachas ruach, that's all. We don't need anything else. So just as that the Rebbeinu Shlomo's purpose in creation is to give us nachas, is that we should be able to experience the ultimate toiv, the ultimate good, which is closest to him. So afata, so too, the purpose of our lives, the purpose in creating our world. The Rebbeinu Shlomo created a world, and we have to create worlds with our lives. Our purpose in creating our lives must be, the focus of our efforts in creating our lives, in creating this world, must be to be good to the one who made us, to give him nachas, to give him tanug, as the B'dit Shiva says over and over, to give him joy and delight and pleasure. And this is the way of Anila Daidi V'Daidi Li, and it's the famous vart of the B'dit Shiva himself, that we see that in the Torah, Pesach is called Chag HaMatzos. It's a famous teaching of Kedushas Levi. Pesach is called Chag HaMatzos, the Yontif of Matzos. But the Jewish people don't call it that. We call it Pesach. So the B'dit Shiva explained why is that. Because the Rebbeinu Shloim is praising the Jewish people that they rushed and they didn't have time, so they baked matzahs. But the Jewish people call it Pesach because we're praising Hashem who saved us the night of Pesach when he passed over, when the Malach passed over. Why? Because this is the way of Anilo Daidi V'Daidi Li. When you love someone, all you want to do is to please the other. All you can do is speak praises of the other. So when the Rebbeinu Shloim looks back upon that time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rebbeinu Shloim says, "Ah, it was a real beautiful Chag HaMatzos. Did you see how my children bake matzahs?" And when we talk about that Yontif, we say, "Ah, did you see how the Rebbeinu Shloim saved their lives, Pesach?" Because this is the way of Daidi Li, Anila, Anila Daidi V'Daidi Li. Each one is trying to give nachas ruach to the others. You know, there's very few relationships like that, when there's a marriage that's like that, it's the most extraordinary thing. There's a marriage that's like that, but it's very, very hard to have a marriage like that, where each one lives to give nachas to the other, to give a tanda, to give delight and pleasure. People are generally, are usually so caught up in their own personal needs. But this is the tachlis. And when there is such a thing, when the Baruch Shalom's entire focus is, what can I do for my beloved, to give nachas to a Jew? And when the Jewish person's thoughts are, what could I do to bring nachas to the one who created me? That brings to a state of dveikus, of attachment to God. And that's what the tzaddikim were talking about when they spoke of a dveikus, of being attached to the creator of the world. When those two hearts, when those two ways cross, that's called dveikus. Now, as I mentioned a second ago, the teva, the nature of a human being, the nature of a human being is to be selfish. It is such a teva that a person's cheshbon is that whatever he or she is doing should be for my own personal benefit, for my own personal hana. And a person is always making a cheshbon, what can I gain from this? How could I benefit from this? The body, the guf, man's physical existence, resists doing anything that is purely altruistic, that is just for somebody else. The body will be willing to let you do something and run around like a mishtigana, and even to do a taiva for someone, as long as the body will get paid. Whatever that means, and whatever manner of payment, if it's financial payment, b'seder, or if it's that you get covered, people look up to you, wach, what a tzaddik this person is, look how many favors he does for people. But it's a klal that the body resists very much. Any time the body senses, man's physical existence senses, that this person is trying to do something for somebody else without any personal gain or benefit, the Yetzirah will get involved. The body will fight against anything that's purely for the other, for someone else, or just for the Baruch Shalom. The body can't stand that, because the body seeks only its own satisfaction. Man's physical, small and shallow self seeks only personal gratification. Therefore, any effort to do something, when you want to do something that's for self-gain, when you're trying to do something with an ulterior motive, you will find that that it goes very smoothly. It's not so hard to do that. And the Yetzer Hara won't tell you to stop. When you're learning Torah, that people should say, ah, this guy knows how to say such a fantastic pshat, he's so brilliant. Or if you're running around with projects, little chesed projects, so that to satisfy some sort of a problem that you might have with your self-esteem, the Yetzirah will generally allow such projects to take place. It doesn't really resist much, because this is part of its plan, that you should be selfish and that you should indulge. Only here, the Yetzirah is laughing even harder, because you think that you're so spiritual and you're fooling yourself. You're not even spiritual. You're not even doing it for somebody else. You're not even doing it to give nachas to the one who created you. You're doing it for some ulterior motive. So therefore, when a person really, really serves, does mitzvahs, or is learning for the purpose of giving nachas to the Baruch Shalom, zehu, when you're doing an act of chesed just for the other person and just to give nachas to the one who told you, so you're going to have terrible yisurim. You suffer from that in the most bitter way. It's such a hard thing to do, something that's entirely pure without any ulterior motive, because there the guf, the body, the yitzahara will feel threatened that there's going to be nachas, that this person is going to do something purely for Hashem's joy, for Hashem's nachas. So therefore, there's going to be tremendous suffering, and it's the hardest thing in the world. There's so much work and effort that has to go into that. So even if you're doing it, even when it comes to learning Torah, to be able to say over a fancy pshat, or to impress somebody, or to be able to show your expertise, that the Yetzirah will not give you a difficult time. But if you want to learn Torah Lishma, just to give nachas to the Baruch Shalom, that nobody should see you or hear of you, it's so much easier to daven in a place where people are going to see that you daven sincerely than it is to daven when you're stuck someplace by yourself and you're exhausted and you're up against a wall, not the kaisel, but you're up against your own little kaisel, and nobody sees you. and the only one that could derive pleasure or joy from this is just the one who made you. That's so hard to daven. But if there are other people around, and you're the type that you're a good shakla and you close your eyes a lot, and can you imagine? If every time they close their eyes, if there would be any sort of a measurement or a gauge of what's going on behind those tightly shut eyes. But when we're by ourselves, nobody knows, and the only one who could get any pleasure is the Rebbeinu Shlom. So you know how hard it is to daven. It's so hard to say something. So, this is a fact, that when a Jew is trying to give hana, nachas, to the Rebbeinu Shlom, it requires a tremendous amount of emuna, a tremendous amount of faith, because it's just for him, not to gain anything. And that's painful, that's difficult. Therefore, any real Jew who's seeking to do this, to fulfill the tachlis of his life, which is to give nachas ruach to the Rebbeinu Shlom, any real Jew must go through periods of aliyas and yiridas. It's not a possibility, it's absolutely certain, it must be, that any Jew who's trying to do this, to give nachas to Hashem, is going to go through days of aliyas, days of clarity, days of when one feels close to Hashem, but then there are going to be usually many, many more days of yiridas, of difficulties, of descending. So there'll be times when the person is filled with a longing and he asks Hashem to help him serve and to give tanuk, to give delight and to give nachas to him. And then there are some times in a person's life where he's going through a period of time where he has absolutely no cheshek at all to do anything for Hashem. He has no desire to bring any nachas, to bring any joy to Hashem. His only cheshek is how to give joy and pleasure to himself. How to bring himself nachas. Just to have for himself. Therefore, the usual thought of a Jew who's going through a period, a very common thought of a Jew who's going through that difficult period of Yerida, of a Nefila, of descending, the usual thought during that time is, why did Hashem create me in such a way and give me such a commandment that I have to do everything for his sake and for other people's sake? What kind of a thing is that? I'm not allowed to enjoy anything in life. I'm not allowed to do anything for myself. I can't forgive myself a little personal joy and pleasure. Everything, what does he care if I also have a little bit of hana? What does it bother him? That I should also have a little hana? And Bechla, what is it that the Rebbeinu Shlom wants to cause me to suffer? That Hashem wants me to suffer and make my life miserable? And he gives me so much, so many mitzvahs and so many chumras, stringencies, and he's warned me about so many averas, and it's so difficult to keep this, to keep all of these things. If he would really be a compassionate father, then why did he make life so difficult and miserable with all of these yisurim, with all of these averas, mitzvahs, and so on? And during the time of Yerida, when a person has these thoughts, the natural inclination of that person is, I simply am not interested. I'm just not interested. I can't go on. Because you realize that what this person is feeling at that time is, I want to indulge. I want to have for myself. Why can't I enjoy myself? What is with all these mitzvahs? And he feels the terrible weight of those mitzvahs upon him. Because the mitzvahs are telling him to serve Hashem and give nachas to Hashem, and to be able to lift yourself up from your little world, do mitzvahs, do chassadim, help other people, give nachas to Rebbeinu Shlom, stop focusing on yourself. So during the period of Yerida, when a person is feeling distant from Hashem, their first thought is, what, this is so heavy, this is so impossible. Why can't I also have some pleasure? The whole world is running around doing certain things, I can't do it, I'm the only one that's not allowed. Hashem gave me all these halachas, what kind of halachas, anything in the world that I could possibly enjoy. The Rebbeinu Shlom found some Mishnah Berurah or some Shach or Taz to tell me it's not allowed. And this is what a person feels. Because what a person wants at that time is for zich alein, for himself. He wants to indulge. The body is screaming, give me. And the Rebbeinu Shlom is saying, give me nachas ruach. And the body says, I want nachas ruach. I want to have pleasure. And when you, and when you're vulnerable and you're weak and your emunah is not strong, so then you begin to think, why after all can't I enjoy myself? What's so terrible? What's so bad? What? This is such an aveira. Many people do this. What is so terrible? Because you only want to give yourself nachas. During that time when your emunah is weak, you're not interested in giving nachas to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You want to give nachas to yourself. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly getting in the way and making you feel guilty. Making you feel the guilt. So that you can't even enjoy this world. I'm sure that everybody here who's gone through Yeridus can relate to that. If you're honest with yourself, every single one of us knows, some in a more obvious way, some in more a subtle way. But that's what happens during Yerida. That's what happens when my emunah is weak, when things are dim. Then my body screams for nachas, for oinig, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam's cutting into my body's act. The Ribbono Shel Olam's getting in the way of my pleasure. And we have tainus. We don't like people. We don't like anybody that gets in the way. We have tainus. People have tainus against the Ribbono Shel Olam. But then there are times when a person goes through a more enlightened period, a period of illumination, when the emunah is stronger, and he feels a cheshek taka to do mitzvahs and to give nachas ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are times like that too, when we don't feel that bitterness, that anger and so on, that depression. But you know, it's so interesting. During the time of an aliyah, there's a different kind of a mishagas that a Jew has. There's a different type of a little yetzahara of a satan that comes into a person's mind. That thought is, really it's the opposite. That thought is, maybe my service of Hashem is not sincere. Maybe this is all a big show. Maybe I'm a faker. Maybe I don't really believe in any of this anyway. Maybe I'm just fooling myself. Because if I was such a tzaddik, then why do I have such inappropriate desires, and why do I have thoughts that are not proper, and so on? So when a person is going through a yerida, when he's going through a descent, when he's going through a difficult time, what he can't stand, what he's upset about, is ruchni, is spirituality. I can't stand spirituality. It's making me crazy. I just want to enjoy myself. What do I need all the spiritual stuff? It's getting in my way. And when a person is going through an aliyah, when a person is in a period of aliyah, it's just the opposite. All this physical stuff is getting in my way. But I need all these physical things. They're getting in my way. And if I do have these physical things that are plaguing me, that are still pursuing me, even during my period of strong emunah, it must be a sign that the Baruch Shalom is getting no nachas at all from me. That I'm a faker, I'm a fraud. And maybe this Hashem is insincere. So we go throughout life living in this way of katakela, being tossed from one world to the next, from above to below. And even when we're going through an aliyah, a time of aliyah, we doubt ourselves and we doubt our relationship with Hashem. We're going through a time of yerida, the last thing you want to hear of is Hashem and all of his mitzvahs. But of course, the inyan of emunah, it's a matter of one's faith to believe, as we say every day in Shemoneh Esrei, a few times, that Hashem is a melech meimis u'mechaya u'masmiach Yeshua. That Hashem is meimis, he brings death, u'mechaya, he brings life. That means that to believe that Hashem himself is with us when we go through periods of misa, of death, of living death. Because when a Jew goes through Yerida, it's a living death. Hashem is Memes. And then we go through better times. Hashem is Mechaya. He gives us life. We feel that He's giving us life. But the emunah of a Jew is that ultimately the purpose of everything that Hashem does, whether it's Memes or Mechaya, is Matzmiach Yeshua. To bring us to Yeshua, to bring us to a point of salvation, to bring us to become the people that we need to become. Now, what is this business of counting Jews in Chumash? It's a big thing, counting Jews. Census is a big thing. Kisisas Reish Bnei Yisrael Lefkudeihem. Counting is a big thing. So So the Torah wants us to count Jews. On the other hand, the Torah has revealed to us that counting Jews is extremely dangerous. That's what we learned at the beginning tonight. Counting Jews is dangerous. It could bring, God forbid, it could bring pestilence, it could bring a plague, it could bring death. Chalila, and it happened in the days of David HaMelech. Counting is dangerous. And how does it help, as we asked in the beginning, how does it help to bring this kaif and nefesh, the half shekel, as a substitute, as an atonement? As a symbol of atonement, as a substitute, what does it help? As we asked, sof kol sof, we're eating up the amount of Jews in the world. We're making a cheshbon. And what's the bracha? You remember yesterday at the beginning, there's a bracha, the Zohar says it before and after. What's the bracha? So I think this is something which is very, very profound. And I'm only going to have time now just to touch upon it. But a little bit, and then we'll come back to the Mitzvah Shem. Maybe next week, and maybe a little bit. It's Nogea to something with Pesach, so I'll talk more about it as we go closer to Yom Tov. Everything that's in the Chumash applies to us all of the time. And that's the Klal Gadol in studying Chumash. And if you don't believe that, God forbid, then you don't believe that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us the Torah. Because if you look at it as just an ancient document that's not relevant to your life, then that's kafir, that's heresy. Everything that's in the Torah, every single pasuk, every single letter, applies to each and every one of us every moment of our lives. So if the Baruch Shalom has given us this whole lineage of counting, so there's a minyan, there's an lineage of counting, and there's a way how to count, and we're not allowed to count, right? So it must be that it's telling us something right now in our lives. When a Jew is going through a time when he's feeling a little bit closer to Hashem, and he feels some clarity, and he's trying to get nachas, he's trying to do mitzvahs, he's trying to be real. When bracha is entering into his life, he has to be very, very careful not to count himself. What do I mean by that? See, there's an meaning of counting the Jewish people, and then there's a question of taking a census of oneself. Counting oneself. In other words, there's a mitzvah to count Yisrael, the Jewish people. And there's also an Indian to count what is Jewish within yourself. How much of a Jew are you? How much of a Jew are you? So the natural tendency of a person, as I said, when the person is going even through a good time and things are going well and he's starting and he feels closer to Hashem, he's interested in learning and davening and so on. So you remember I said that the Yetzer Hara comes at that time and tells you to begin to count, and tells you to begin to count what? To begin to make a cheshbon, to count, to take a look inside yourself, and to put the microscope, to put yourself under the microscope. And there are svarim that suggest this. Most of Musa's svarim deal with this subject. And there are times that it's necessary to do this, as the Tanya writes about it, to make a cheshbon nefesh. Making a cheshbon nefesh is an accounting of one's soul is a very, very precious way of serving Hashem, but only in the right way, at the right time, and the right frame of mind. But when one makes when one counts, when one puts the spotlight on himself, and he begins to wonder, as he looks at different mitzvahs that he is doing, and he makes a cheshbon that every single mitzvah comes out disabled, impure, insincere, hypocritical. That's one of the fastest ways to bring yourself into a yerida, to drag yourself into the dirt. It's one of the fastest and surest ways to drag yourself into the dirt. When a person is going through a time, when it's a day that's good, it says in Pasuk, "Biyayim Tayv," if it's a good day, "Heyei B'Tayv," then enjoy the goodness of that day, and to enjoy the bracha that Hashem is giving you, and to think, it could be, maybe there is something, if I would count every part of myself, it might be that there's something insincere in what I'm doing. But sof kol sof, look what the rest of the world is doing for pleasure. What am I doing for pleasure? I'm chuckling a little bit during Shemoneh Esrei. Or if my mitzvah is not 100%, it could be, my learning is not 100%, could be. My chesed undertaking is not entirely altruistic. But this is my simcha, this is my joy doing these things. The rest of the world has simcha doing the sickest things. The rest of the world is making themselves cheerful with all kinds of things that have nothing to do with giving the Rebbeinu Shel Olam any nachas. So it could be that there's something insincere in my efforts to give nachas to Hashem. So there are two ways that I could think of that. One is that I can listen to the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara says, this is all from the body, this isn't from the soul. It's purely from the body. Let's make an accounting. Let's count what's Jewish inside of you. Let's count every single emotion, thought, feeling that you have, that you're going through. And if you do this, my friend, you will discover that you're the same low life as you are during the periods of your Yerida. You're just a faker. So counting is very dangerous. You have to be very careful when you count and how you count. Counting bechlala, that every Jew counts, and to count at the right times, to make a cheshbon and nefesh, and we have Yom Kippur, we have other times that are special times for cheshbon and nefesh. But isn't it interesting, like the Tanya writes, and all the chassidim, the Rebbe Melech wrote about this, Kushan Samagit, Hapsadik, all the tzaddikim say, look, isn't it interesting, it's the nature of a person, Davke, to make a cheshbon, a destructive counting of himself when things are going well. And usually you start thinking during davening, you know, really, I'm really not just a tzaddik. I shouldn't be davening like this. Nobody ever thinks like that when they're doing an aveir. I really don't deserve this pleasure. I'm such a low life. Nobody ever thinks like that. When they're doing an aveir, they think, kum samir. Why not? Why not? It's coming to me. Why not? Why shouldn't I enjoy myself? But then he doesn't think like that. It's interesting. But Davke, when he wants to do a mitzvah, or when he's trying to do something that's on a higher madrega, then all of a sudden the Yetzer comes along and says, "Whoa, look who you are! Look at you! Listen, have you forgotten? You're not counting. You're not really counting and checking and looking into making a real thorough search into every single thing that you're doing. Because if you would, you would realize that you're just a faker." So Davka, when you're davening, it comes out you're a faker. Everything comes out when you're a faker. So when you're doing an aveir, then what? That's sincere. It's crazy. It's a shigong, mamish, from the Eight Sahara. So the Zohar Kodesh says that the taker is that you give a bracha to a Jew, and there's a bracha afterwards, and I'll talk about what the kaifer nefesh means in a second. But a bracha before and a bracha after means the taker is to feel that the greatest bracha that you have is that you're a Jew. You know what the Holy Vizhna would say? We say in benching, Allah kol Hashem lo kenu achna maidim lach, right? Mavarcha maisach. We say in benching. Allah kol, for everything Hashem that you've given us, we thank you. But you know what the Vizhna used to say? Va'al hakol, above everything else, more than anything, Va'al hakol, Hashem lo kenu, that Hashem, you're our God, anachna maidim lach, for this we thank you. More than my children, more than my wife, more than my possessions. Va'al hakol, above anything that, ever since when I heard this verse from the Rishna, I was around 13, 14 years old, and that's what I think of when I bench every single time. Va'al hakol, more than anything that you have given me, the Rebbeinu Shlom, which I thank you for all of that, but al hakol, you know what's most precious to me? Hashem Elokeinu, that you're my God. And anachnu maidim lach, and I want to thank you for that gift. That kivyachol you live for me, and I'm going to try to live for you, to give you nachas, just as you tried to give me nachas. That's a bracha of a Jew. Now, what happens when a person is going through Yerida? What happens when a person is going through a difficult time, a downtime? So then you know, I don't have to even explain this. So you're going through a time, but it's not a bracha time. And when there's no bracha, the Zohar says, then the Sitra Achra comes in, right? When there's no bracha, then the Yetzer Hara comes to such a place. The Yetzer Hara, the Sitra Achra, the other side is like, it's like a rat, a cockroach. When there's a place that's empty of anything good, where there's something spoiled, where there's something ruined, so the Yetzer Hara comes in there. So when a person's going through Yerida, so then we begin to count every single Aveira, right? We count every single Aveira, all the aveiros that I've done. I'm totally, how totally selfish I am. how meaningless my life is. And you know what the result of it is? The same result. The result of all of that counting is the same thing. The result is that since anyway God loathes me and hates me, since anyway he doesn't love me, because how could he love such a miserable person as myself? So since the Baruch Shalom anyway despises me, I have no choice but to run away. Because it's very uncomfortable to be with anybody that hates you. You know that. When you're with somebody, you feel that the person hates you, you just want to run away. So if you feel that the Baruch Shalom hates you because you've counted all your averus, you're a big census taker. Especially when you're going through your reader, you begin by counting all your averus. It's usually just at a time when you did something you never thought you would do, and you count all these averus, and you come to the conclusion that God hates you, and therefore you run away. And how does a Jew run away? Because it's a big problem, because you can't run away, because God is everywhere. That's a big problem, right? So what do? So it's very simple. What you say to yourself is, you know what? I've had enough. I've spent my entire life trying to serve you, and I haven't gotten anywhere. So I think it's time that I serve myself. That's how you run away from Hashem. I think it's time that I give myself some nachas. Look, I'm not able to give you any nachas. Somebody might as well enjoy. And it might as well be me. You're not enjoying what I do, because my davening is worthless. Because that same mouth talks lashon hara, and mitzvahs and all these things. You're not enjoying it. So what am I going to go on not giving anybody pleasure? So I might as well enjoy myself. I give myself some nachas. So this minyan, this cheshbon, this counting that a Jew does during the time that he's falling, he comes to the conclusion, after taking a census of his life, he comes to the conclusion, this is so dangerous, this is what kills a person, this is the negef, this is the danger of counting. When it's not done properly, when it's done properly, counting is gewaldig. It means I count. My mitzvahs count. It means in a healthy and proper way to make a cheshbon nefesh. But in an unhealthy way, it kills you. So there's no tachlis to my life, so I might as well enjoy myself. So there's no bracha. All he sees in himself is chesroinus. When he counts his life, when he counts what's Jewish in his life, with gedolim. So now, what's the eitzah? So the Torah gives an answer. The Torah says, don't count Jews, count the half shekel. What does that mean? Which is called a kaifa nefesh. Kaifa nefesh means a substitute. Literally, kaifa nefesh means that it'll bring atonement, it'll bring forgiveness, it'll bring a healing. A kaifa nefesh brings a healing. It brings a cure. This is a little bit hard to explain, so I'm hoping that you'll understand what I'm trying to say here. I didn't really have enough time to think this over properly. But I think this is what it means. When a Jew is in that counting census mode, when he starts to do that, so we just learned, and everybody knows, that if you count the chesroinus, if you count what you don't have, if you count what's missing in your life, then that's going to bring you to a terrible, terrible state of despair of yeyush. If you're going through an aliyah, it'll smash you back into a yerida. If you're going through a yerida, it'll take you to places deeper than you ever dreamt of. Right? If you count. And yet counting is a mitzvah. The Baruch Shalom does tell us to count. He seems very interested in the census taking, right? Because what a Jew has to count is not what he has destroyed, what he's ruined. What a Jew has to count is how much he could fix. What can I fix? What can I be misakein? What can I do? Or like that sentence from the Rebbe Rav Nachman, which I also think about all the time. Rav Nachman Breslov has said, "Im atama min shato yochel kalkel." If you believe that you have the power to ruin something, then tamen, then believe shato yochel l'saken, that you have the power to fix something. It's so true. It's so simple and it's so true. So what is meant by a healthy counting? A kaifa nefesh l'Hashem. Kaifa nefesh means the Baruch Shalom says, count the atonement coin. Count the kesef. You know, the kesef means a desire and a yearning for something better. Because the word in Hebrew, kesef, is from the David HaMelech said, nichsefa v'gam kalsa nafshi. Kisuf means what I want for the future. Not what happened in the past. Avar is the past, Aveira the sin, Avar, not the past. The Ikar is, what can I do to fix? And you know something, when you begin to count the good things that you could do in the future, when you begin to count the tikkunim that you could make in your life, when you count those things, so we have a din, it's a Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos says that shtar ha'emid ligov is kegovi domi. That means that a shtar, when you owe money, and you owe, there's a document and you have to pay in lieu of that document. So when you have the shtar to collect the money, the other person has the shtar to collect the money, having the shtar already on some level means that you have the money. It already means that there's something there which when a Jewish person is filled with a hope, with kesef, with kisufim, to fix what's gone wrong, instead of thinking of the mess and focusing and counting every single thing that's wrong, but instead he thinks of the wonderful tikkun they can make. When you plan to become better, you already feel better. You already begin to feel simcha. You begin to feel joy. Instead of focusing on the chesroinus, you begin to think. In other words, what the kof and nefesh means like this, the hef shakel means like this. What can I give? What can I do that will correct the situation? Not so much what have I botched up and messed up and ruined. Although, you know, there's a time, there's Yom Kippur, and there's a place. But not to let those thoughts creep into your head, stand like this. But instead, to make a cheshbon, what can I do for something right away, half is already accomplished. A half shekel means that half of the solution is just wanting for the future to be better. That's already a kaif and nefesh. That already brings atonement. That already brings simcha. In other words, ein hachinami. It's true that there are various chesaronos, and we can't make believe we haven't made mistakes. That's ridiculous. Of course, you have to be honest. You can't make believe. But a Jew has to know that this, the very fact that I'm aware of these chesaronos and that it bothers me is a simon that I'm seeking to become better, that I want to fix something, that I want to do something right in the future. L'moshe, if a person... You can imagine that a person is walking around, God forbid, with clothing that's covered with stains. Covered with stains. This is milchigs, this is fleishigs. The person is covered with stains. From the head to toe, ain't by misayim. There isn't a place that's not stained, yeah? So he's walking around with filthy levush, God forbid. And the saddest thing is when you see a person who doesn't seem to be aware or care of them, right? That's tragic. And this person doesn't seem to care. He walks around with the ksonim, with the stains, and doesn't bother him at all. Now, you're another kind of a person who it bothers, and therefore he brings it to the cleaner. Right? He brings it to the cleaner. And he says to himself the following: I know that I have many stains on that jacket. I know that I have many stains on that shirt or whatever it is. I know that. But that's why I'm taking it to the cleaner. And that's what I'm thinking about. How each and every stain can be removed. And the joy, the simcha, as Rav Kook describes in the Arias HaTshuva, I don't have time for it now to talk about it, but in the Arias HaTshuva, the simcha that begins to set into a person's life when he begins to plan this spiritual dry cleaning. The joy that sets in from the onset. In other words, I'm not counting the stains, I'm counting the stains that are going to be removed. It's a different mahalach altogether. It's a different mahalach altogether. Well, there was a tzaddik that said that the chiluk between the Derech HaMusar and the Derech HaChassidus was the Derech HaMusar says that if you see something that looks so perfect, you should be certain that if you look carefully, more carefully, it's stained. But the Derech HaChassidus was that even if something looks like it's disgusting and stained, if you look carefully, you could find something good in it. And that's a very big chiluk. Not to say there isn't a place, there isn't a time for that way, for the first way, there is. But as a way of life, the Torah says it's very dangerous to count. As a way of life, you have to be careful. If you're going to count, you count the tikkunim, what can be fixed. So instead of being brought to sadness and to despair, this person who is counting by focusing not on the chesaronos, not on the stains and what's missing, but he's counting on, he's focusing on how each and every one can be fixed. How each and every one can be fixed. And he focuses on his mindless, on his good characteristics, on his good traits, on the good things that he or she has done in life. So in Mela, there will not be a negif. There will be a kaifa nefesh. With that yearning and that craving for something better. The tefillah is aysemechse already. And the person wants to become better and is looking for the other half, for the other half shekel. That's the bracha before. That's the bracha after. And this gives a person the greatest sense of joy. Tshuva, most of us, when we think of tshuva, it's like, you know, when you start to, when the summer starts to end, and you, and then they're starting to, you know, they're starting to say, L'dovet Hashem Ha'evi Yishi, and then they're blowing the shofar, and people start talking about Rosh Hashanah, so you got that feeling of, here it goes, it's tshuva season again. And tshuva season for most of us means depression and despair. But the tzaddikim, Rosh Yom Kippur, is the most exalted time of the year. It's the time of coronating the king. Or like one of the tzaddikim said, I mentioned to you at the time, I think, of Yontif, that they say from Abdovel Oliver, one day also from Yitzhak Vorka, but I think it was first from Abdovel Oliver, they said that he was wondering, why is it the Jews sing Vidui? Ashkenazim have a niggun for Vidui. Ay, 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 Yoshamnu, we're guilty, Bogadnu, we're traitors. What's this? So the tzaddik is, what's the gewaldige simchi? What are you so happy about? What are you singing, the simcha? So the tzaddik said, it's a gewaldige simcha. It's a simcha, not that I've done something wrong. It's a simcha that I know that I've sinned in such, and I've made a mess in the palace of such a king, and that the Rebbe Shlomo has given me a way to clean every single little drop that I've spilled, every single stain, every single mess I can clean. And it could be more beautiful than ever before. That's a gewaldige simcha. That each and everything can be fixed. Each and everything can be fixed. This brings a person tremendous sense of simcha. See, when a person feels that he could fix something, it's within his reach. And he feels that he wants to do it. And not only that, but he feels that nobody else can fix this. You know, if you have a child that's a little bit undisciplined, a child that's not always behaving properly, the best thing you can do for a kid is a job. You give him a job. Give him something where he feels chashuv. And he knows that he's the only one that can do this for mommy. She's the only one that can do this for mommy or daddy. The kid has such chashivas then. And the kid, instead of most parents, you mess this up. Look what you've stained in your life. So what does the kid do? He walks away from the whole project. Let me out of here. Get me out of this place. So he leaves the house and he goes to yeshiva and he has another teacher, another rabbi, Nacha Patch. Somebody else give me a clap over the head. You don't know this, you didn't do this right, you don't do this, you don't do that. So his whole life is stained. So he doesn't have a cheshik. But you could take the craziest little kid, they should all be well. You could take a little Meshuggah. And if you give him something to do, and you know something, the bigger the Meshuggah, the better the job he does. You could find this is true. This is true. And it's well known, I might have mentioned it once, that the Satan Rebbe once said about the Lubavitcher. Now you know there was some friction there. It's not a secret, but they were great tzaddikim, and when they were sitting shiva, they used to go see each other, you should know. And there was great love, I'm sure, between them, but there was a difference, like, between the tzaddikim, no? When the tzaddikim fight, it's to keep the Jewish people awake, to wait for Mashiach. But the Satan Rebbe says, der Mendel. Der Mendel, he says that, the Lubavitcher, der Mendel, he says, there's a Kliger. He's smart. So I said, what he was talking about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he asked the Satan Rebbe, what do you mean? So he says, look, he says, when one of my chassidim is messed up, he goes completely off. But the Lubavitcher, he puts him into a thing, he calls it a mitzvah tank, and he goes around helping people, doing mitzvahs. And, you know, which the Satan Rebbe didn't hold for many of that stuff, like, you know, putting tefillin on people. The Satan Rebbe was very much against that whole thing, for different reasons, and halach and so on. But he said, but the Mendel's a kliger. You know, the best thing you do is make a Jew feel useful, right? It's true. Every single one of those chevra, those Lubavitchers, not to say that all the ones that are out there, God forbid, are like the Samir was saying, but he says, but the Rebbe has an Eitzah. There's an Eitzah to make a Jew feel useful and make him useful. And every single one of the chevra that they're out there doing that, they feel that they're saving the world. And I'm not saying I don't believe it. I do believe it. I do believe it. But a person like that, when he comes home,
He wants to do mitzvahs. He wants to learn. You know why? Because he's fixing the Baruch Shalom's world. He's making tikkunim. He's fixing the world. He's doing good things. He's taking the stains off the world. So when a person thinks like that, he has the biggest simcha. He feels he's giving nachas to Hashem. Even my act of dry cleaning the aveiros is giving nachas to Rabbi Shalom. Tshuva is the most joyous thing. What I'm doing, my tshuva is bringing the biggest nachas. What is simcha? To remove these stains. To make these tikkunim. That's what a Jew counts. Not the stains, but the stains that are going to be removed. Sois osis b'Hashem. Sois osis b'Hashem, as the Bedichtseva said, and others, sois, my greatest joy in life is osis b'Hashem, is that I have the ability to bring joy to Hashem. Sois, that's my simcha. How? Osis b'Hashem, that I can make Hashem feel simcha. That I bring joy to the Baruch Shalom. Sois osis b'Hashem. This is how a Jew counts. You know, I heard once from an Elohi Yid, an interesting thing. I heard that there's a certain Jew that was Isaac already in Eretz for the last 35 years being Makav, bringing Jews back to Hashem. And years ago, I heard a Maisi about him from a person who was there when this happened. You know that in Eretz Yisrael, people care a lot about everything. That could be good and that could be bad. But people care. In American Chosloritz, you know, people don't care so much about things unless it's directly related to them. Then they care a lot. But if it's not directly related, they don't care so much. But it's just so, you know, many of our brothers and sisters, and it's just so, they have problems with the religious Jews. And they feel there's something that was called Kfiyat Datit, which means that many of the non-religious Jews of the Chilonim feel that the Jews are, the religious ones are forcing them to be religious. Because they can't go in the certain place if they don't have public transportation, Shabbos, and they can't go to this place or that place, Shabbos, the stores are closed. This is called Kfiyat Datit, religious coercion. And this is, until this day, this is a very sore point. So there were non-religious Jews who paid money and they were putting up billboards around the country against religious coercion. Against religious coercion. So this Talmud Chacham is a real Chashav Yid, a Chassidish Yid, a Miyuchas too. So he was going with somebody. And what this Talmud Chacham wanted to do was to tear down as many of these signs as he could. He wanted to tear down these signs. So he was someplace in the Galil. And he went with another guy, and they brought with them in their car a ladder or something, and he went up there, and he's tearing down this sign. Well, it was a mazel, because like the king of the Chilonim was just passing by. Like, you know, a real anti-negative, you know, fellow was passing by. And he sees these two yidlach with the beards and payas tearing down one of their signs. So he comes over there, he stops the car, he gets out, and he starts to scream and yell, you see, this is exactly what we're talking about, and how dare you, and this is not your property, you know, and you're a thief, and you're this, and you're that, and the Jew, and that's what religion does. And the whole time he's screaming, you know, and yelling at this Rav. And the whole time that he's screaming, the Rav is laughing. He's like giggling and laughing. So this Yid couldn't take it. So the Yid, you know, he starts to scream, Mata Sochek, what are you laughing about? So the Rav said to him, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm just laughing because I'm thinking about how beautiful you're going to look when you have a beard and payas. So he says, Ma'atam de Beshli. You know, because all the Jews, when you talk to them, they're sweet. So he says, what are you talking about? I'm never gonna have a beard. What do you mean? So he says, nah, you're going to have a beard and payas. But I see you're a Farbenta Yid. Why? You're going to know how to, you're going to really be something. So I was just happy thinking about how beautiful you're going to look in the future. So this guy, like, that diffused him, you know what I mean? He starts to say, listen, my grandfather was a chacham, and he starts to talk. So he says, so this Rav said, look, where do you live? So he said that he lives in Haifa. So the Rav said, I have a brother in Haifa. If you ever want a Shabbos, you're in Haifa, you ever want a Shabbos, you want something, so you know what? So you can call my brother up, here's his number, here's his address, and so on. And that's it, they just part, you know how Jews part of their Tia Bari, after they yell at each other, you should be healthy. So he goes off. So he said, that he said that around 6 weeks later, his brother called to tell him that he had an amazing Shabbos with this guy. And in the end of the story is that he's a beautiful Jew with a beautiful beard and peyes, with beautiful children, Yiddish Kinder. You know, when you're able to do such a thing, why was the tzaddik able to do such a thing? You know why? Because he's able to see that a Jew is really good, and he's able to laugh and to think of the good that the Jew has in store. He's able to laugh because he's able to see, like Rabbi Akiva. He has eyes to look at a Jew in such a way of what he could be, of what could be fixed, of the stains that could be removed. He has Rabbi Akiva's eyes. He has the eyes of Hillel HaZaken. Those are eyes that see the tikkun. Anybody else would only see this angry, you know, bitter person screaming and carrying on, and then it's more bitterness, more anger. If only there would be more Jews like this to be able to handle those yidden, you know, we wouldn't have so much anger, and there wouldn't be so much of a separation that there is now, like we see in Eretz Yisrael, between one Jew and another. Because if you just show the person what he could be misakin, and you don't judge him for his past, you don't talk about the past, just give him a machsa shekel and a kaif and nefesh, and I'm counting what you could be in the future, so that person, Mimela, has a cheshik to come back. That's because every Jew wants to be close to Hashem. It's just, what do you think he's screaming and yelling? And then the second that his argument breaks down, and his anger passes away, he starts to talk about how his grandfather was an Eilich Yid. There's no Jew that really wants to do anything bad. It's just that you have a Jew that feels bad about himself. So he's counted all of his affairs. He's counted all the things that are wrong in his life. And he's come to the conclusion that the Rosh Hashanah hates him. So Mimele, he's running away. But if you show him how good he could be, if you show him how good it can be, so then he counts. And then he counts, and then he wants to be good. And if our children would hear this the way that they need to hear it in yeshiva and at home, if a husband and wife would say it to each other, so things would be a lot better. And so the Mershom should help us. Then we should be able to laugh like that tzaddik and smile at other people and at ourselves also. And in that way, to bring tikkunim and to remove these last few stains that have to be removed, until that day when the Baruch Shalom promised, "Mizarakti aleichem ma'am tahirim," that he's going to finish by sprinkling upon us the waters of purification, "Vatahir eschem," and to purify us, the Vias Gold Sedigim Hibyamin Wamein Vamein.